The pastor's study, we're going to continue our verse-by-verse study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to pick up in verses 13 through 18 in just a moment. But before we do, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon our study today in your book of 1 Thessalonians. Father, I pray that we would be led by the Holy Spirit of God, the author of your very words, of this holy Bible. Father, we do pray for the saints of God that are listening today, that they would be edified, built up in the things of thee, that they would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through our study today. And Father, we pray for the lost soul today that's never trusted Jesus Christ in his shed blood alone for the forgiveness of their sins and to give them a home in heaven. We would pray that this would be the very day that those that are lost, that are listening today, would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Father, we commit this time into thy hand, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want us to read together verses 13 down to verse 18, which is the end of the chapter. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These six verses that we just read are one of the clearest explanations of one of the most important doctrines in the Word of God for the New Testament Christian, and that would be the doctrine of the return of Christ for the church. This is sometimes even referred to as the rapture. Now, rapture is not a Bible word, but means a catching away. You see, the rapture is the next event that is scheduled to occur on God's calendar. The believers in the Thessalonian church seem to be upset about the believers that had already died. And we see that in verse 13, as Paul says to them, he writes to them, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." You see, they wanted to know what would happen to these believers that had already died believing in Christ. Now, remember that the term sleep is one of the ways that the Bible refers to death, and that the concept of soul sleep taught by the cults is not biblical. Now, let's turn to the Gospel of John for a moment. in chapter 11 to see, as we look at this thing about the term asleep and how it refers to, in the Bible, to death. John chapter 11, we want to look at verses 11 through 14. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I could go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So here we see that the Lord, in referring to Lazarus, that he was asleep, in other words, that he referring to death, amen. Now, going back to 1 Thessalonians with me, to verse 14, we read this, which sleep in Jesus, amen, which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. See? Those Christians who have died over the last 1900 plus years have had their bodies going into the ground or into the sea, but their souls are right now with Jesus. Now notice where 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, where the Christian who has died is. So we need to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse number 8. Paul writes, We are confident, I say, in willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we notice where 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 8 says that the Christian absent from his or her body is with the Lord. Now, when Jesus comes back, for those of us Christians who are still alive, he will bring believers who have died in Christ with him. Amen. In this connection, let's look at a couple of passages of Scripture. First, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 10, Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm sorry, I read 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10, who died for us, that's speaking about Christ, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Again, reference to the rapture. Whether the person has died in Christ when he comes, or whether you're alive believing in Christ, that both are going to live with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And in Romans chapter 14, let's look at verses 8 and 9 together. For whether we live unto the Lord, And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived. Why? That he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. So he's both the Lord of those who have died believing in him and those who are alive that have believed in him. Amen. Now, let's return to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and look at verse 15 for a moment. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Notice that expression, by the word of the Lord. What Paul is doing here is Paul emphasizes the doctrine of Christ's return for the church as an inspired doctrine. He said, by the word of the Lord. Now we see that word prevent. In this instance, prevent is an old English word for precede or go before. A breakdown of the word is pre-event. In other words, before the event. So those who are alive at the rapture will not be caught up before those who have already died. A careful reading of this passage shows that those believers who have died in Christ and whose souls are now in heaven will return with Jesus and will have their bodies raised up out of the ground. These resurrected bodies will be heavenly bodies rather than earthly bodies. They will be incorruptible, incapable of disease, death, sickness, or even sin. Paul wrote another letter about this subject, about the rapture, to the Corinthians. Let's turn to his first letter or epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 15. In verses 39 to 44. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and the body terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, that's the physical body when it dies. It is raised in incorruption, that's at the rapture. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So when these saints who died in Christ are joined to their new resurrected bodies, they will be caught up in the air first. Those of us still alive will immediately follow. Rather than being resurrected, we will be changed and given new incorruptible bodies We will put off mortality and put on immortality. The believers who died are raised, and those yet alive are changed. Again, let's return to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. In this time, I'd like us to look at verses 51 to 53 together. Paul writes, "Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption." And that's those that are the bodies that have people that are believers who have died. "And this mortal must put on immortality." In other words, those who are alive that is coming, their mortal bodies will be changed into, as it says here, immortality. Now let's look again back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and look at verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now notice, three things accompany Christ's return for the church. First of all, a shout. Probably the words, "Come up hither." Looking in Revelation chapter 4, in verse 1. Here we see the church going up at the rapture. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, which I will shew thee things which must be hereafter." Also in Revelation chapter 11, verse 12. "And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." Now we just read here prior to Revelation chapter 11, verse 12. We read in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. We saw the church go up at the rapture. So what's happening here? Here we have in Revelation chapter 3, or Revelation, excuse me, Revelation 11, verse 12. Here I believe what we have here is a rapture or a catching away during the tribulation. Here we have the two witnesses going up, and I believe tribulation saints, amen, who have been martyred for the cause of Christ during the tribulation. Now we said that three things accompany Christ's return for the church. First we saw, we looked at a shout. Second thing, the voice of the archangel. Now angels often announce things in the presence of the Lord as seen all throughout the book of Revelation. There is one archangel. Now the word arch, or arch, means first ahead. And we see this archangel mentioned by name in the Bible. If you'll turn to Jude, the book of Jude, and look at verse 9 with me. we see, yet Michael, the archangel. So we see Michael is the archangel. Now these verses are used by the Jehovah's Witnesses to teach that Jesus is not God, but rather that Jesus is the archangel named in Jude. See, that's what they these verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Jehovah's Witnesses twist to their own destruction and say that Jesus is not God, but rather that Jesus is the archangel named in Jude. The third thing that accompanies the Lord's return for the church is the trump of God. The trump of God also announces Christ's return. Let's compare that with, if we turn to 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15. We read it just a moment ago, or maybe we didn't. I believe we did. Yes, we did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, we read, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, see, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So again, we see three things accompany Christ's return for the church: a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Let's look at verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, the rapture is a doctrine of comfort in that Jesus really could return at any moment, any minute for the church. Though dozens of generations have come and gone, all hoping for Jesus to come back, there will eventually be a generation of Christians who will be alive when he does return, amen. And that could be us. What a blessing that would be, that we not see death, but we changed. We'd put, our mortal bodies will be put off, and we would put on immortality. Paul calls this doctrine, amen, the Christian's blessed hope. We need to turn to the book of Titus. The book of Titus. Book of Titus, chapter 2, in verse 13. Paul says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, my dear friend, the return of Christ for the church is what we're looking for. Amen. The blessed hope, the coming, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I praise God today and every day that you and I serve a great God. Amen. Notice with me, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, who we are told will come in the last days and what they will say. So let's turn over to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Peter writes, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. See, scoffers. We have scoffers today that teach the Lord is not coming. Where is he? We've heard about it, amen? We've heard about it since the fathers fell asleep. But things, where is he? Things have continued since the beginning of the creation until now. So there's going to come scoffers. There's scoffers out there right now. There's religious folks that preach the Lord isn't returning. But I praise God that the Word of God says that he is returning for you and for me, the believer. And what a blessing to know that if you have a loved one, amen, that died believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have several, thank God. I have a mother that I love dearly, and an aunt that I love dearly, that I know that I will see again someday, because they died believing in Christ. Amen. So what a blessing to know that we will see our loved ones again, that at that day, the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God sounds, those that we loved that are in the ground are going to come up, those that have died believing in Christ, and then they're going to be given new glorified bodies, incorruptible bodies. Their corruptible bodies will be changed, and our mortal bodies will be changed. We'll put on immortality, and we'll ever live with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. The Christian has a lot to look forward to. So you and I, unlike this lost and dying world, as Christians, we have a glorious future ahead of us, do we not? But how many of us really live each day like that? You know, showing outward to others that we know when we die that we're going to heaven, or when the Lord returns, we're going to heaven. Either way, we're going to heaven. So we shouldn't walk around with sad faces, amen, down in the dumps and discouraged. As Jesus says, you're going to be in the world and you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And that he has gone to prepare a place for us. And that he's going to return for us and take us to that wonderful place called heaven, to our individual mansions. Well, we're going to continue with our study here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Next time we're on the pastor's study. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me, Brother Gino Cassieri, for the pastor's study today. And until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.